Hey friends, this is Angela, the Real Credit Queen, and welcome to Your Credit Today, your go-to destination for mastering the art of credit management. Whether you're a seasoned financial guru or just starting your journey towards financial freedom, this podcast is your ultimate guide to understanding and optimizing your credit wellness. Join me as I unravel the complexities of the credit scoring system, debunk common myths, and provide practical credit strategies to help you navigate the world of credit with confidence. Get ready to take control of your financial future, one episode at a time. Well, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you are tuning in to this show. You know who this is. This is A to the N to the G, the Real Credit Queen, and you are here at Your Credit Today. I am super excited to share the stage today with not only a friend, but a super attorney, and I'm going to let her tell you all about her experience and what she does in the world of law. But before I do that, you know I always have to make a shameless plug. Hit that subscribe button and tell all of your friends and family about the amazing tips and information that you're learning from this show. I mean, what is this show really about? It's about you. It's about when you come to this show, I am interested in teaching you how you can use your credit as an investment tool. Because friends, that's really what it's all about at the end of the day. When you walk into the bank, when you have plans to do something financially in your life, your credit then becomes a tool. And so what I want to do every week when you tune into this show is I want you to have really, really good information and wisdom from my guests that I bring on this show. So without further ado, I want to introduce, like I said, my friend and an amazing colleague, Robin Itkin from Sklar Kirsch. Hello, Robin.
Good morning, Angela. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. It's so nice to have you here, my friend.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Robin.
Okay. Well, about Robin. So I'm a restructuring lawyer, which means I do financial restructuring and bankruptcy. In the bankruptcy courts for all sorts of individuals and companies. And a lot of times I'll acquire assets for different clients outside of bankruptcy and inside bankruptcy. It's a very good opportunity sometimes to purchase assets through bankruptcy for both the bankruptcy estate and the acquirer. So I do that. I do out-of-court workouts. I'm a certified mediator, so I mediate a lot of different disputes between partners, companies, and other individuals. So I really am very passionate about what I do. I get very involved with my clients and really want to bring the results that they really want to have for themselves in the most cost-efficient and effective way possible.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I always like to, because we have a wide range of listeners or viewers, can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by assets? Now, when we're talking about assets that someone has at a certain time in life, or they have a business or whatnot, can you break that down so that our viewers know a little bit more about that?
Sure. That's a great question. So assets are what a person or a company accumulates. So it is your house. It is your inventory if you're a store. It's your equipment. It's everything you own to do your business or as an individual. And so what happens in business or when you borrow money, a lot of times you'll pledge your assets for money that you want to borrow, which means it acts as security or collateral for that loan. And so a lot of the negotiations or litigation can take place where if you're unable to pay back the loan or it's delayed, the quote secured creditor, the individual has now a lien on those assets, who encumbers those assets, has a right to try to get those assets back through foreclosure or otherwise. So your assets are very important, and what you do with those assets are very important. And what's really
meaning
important,
how you protect them?
How you protect them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if you're in a business or if you're married, you need to know how your partner or your business partner or your social or life partner, if they're doing something with those assets that you don't know about. We've had a lot of issues where A husband has a business and he'll pledge the house. He'll encumber or mortgage the house as collateral for a loan that's taken out for the business, and the spouse never knows. And suddenly the business isn't able to pay back the debt, and the creditor tries to foreclose on the house. And the spouse says, you know, you're taking my house from me. I didn't even know this was even collateral. So assets are important. What you do with those assets are important. And it's important to make sure you're always understanding how you're protecting those assets.
Oh, amazing. Now, tell us a little bit about the little girl, Robin, that, you know, did you ever dream? Now, I always say this whenever I have an attorney on my show, because when I was little, I used to dream about being an attorney. And I would dream that I would, friends, be at home or in my bed, and me and my husband were these very, very busy attorneys, and that we always were going to court. And unfortunately, life did not hand me those cards, but I feel like I get to be on the side of the law and helping my clients. Well, let me say, not on the side of the law. That's not the right word. What I'm saying is helping my clients through that process. Without being an attorney,
exactly.
I really get to investigate and understand how people, companies, consumers can get out of certain predicaments that they're in. Now, of course, I'm not going in front of a judge and a jury, but I still get to do that investigative work, and it makes me feel like a lawyer. I'm not, though. So what was it that you said one day, you know what, I want to be a lawyer?
Well, good question, but I do want to comment on, because I've retained you many times for clients when it's really not necessary to have a lawyer involved, when you want to have somebody. Because once you bring a lawyer in, the other side needs to bring a lawyer in.
Mm.
And so a lot of times you don't want to either incur that cost, or you don't want to rise it to a level of lawyers. And I just want to say thank you, because many times I brought you in for many of my clients, and you're as smart as any lawyer I know.
Oh, thank you.
But you really know how to investigate and analyze things. And it's great working together, because
yes,
we bring the legal side and the non-legal side together. So I actually when I was very young, I wanted to be a teacher.
Oh.
And I wanted to help people, but I wanted to help children, and I wanted to teach. But in high school, it was junior high school. I had a teacher, Mr. Comachero, I will never forget it, who taught business law. And I took the class and I loved it. Mm. I just found it so challenging, and I loved all the ways you could try to help people. And I thought, wow, I could do this even more than just being a teacher. I could really expand it and do it in a different way. And that class, I said, from then on, I said, I'm going to be a lawyer.
Wow.
And I followed things. I read about it, and I always then was through high school and college, you know, trying to pave my track to try to get to a good school and be a good lawyer.
Wow. And now your husband's a lawyer too,
he
right?
Yes. He is. My brother's a lawyer.
Right. No, joking.
Yeah. My husband's a lawyer. His son's a lawyer. His son's wife's a lawyer.
Get
my
out of here.
My husband's a lawyer. So yeah. So
oh, because my son was in your daughter-in-law's mock trials and debate
class. Exactly. Because she teaches debate,
but she's
not practicing law anymore. She has debate, and she's terrific. And that was funny. We realized that
I know, that was so funny. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So we really enjoy it. I met my husband at a law firm that we worked together at.
It's just so interesting how, you know, relationships are born with people that you work with.
Because you're there around the clock. I mean,
absolutely.
You get to know somebody really well when you're working, you know.
Until 9 o'clock at
exactly,
night.
Exactly. And you don't look that great, and you're exhausted. Yeah. And so that's been great. Yeah. I think we're going on 32 years. So it's
wow.
It's
congratulations.
You.
You know, that means so much to me when I hear another professional that met a professional at work, and that you have been married for so long, because, you know, let's just take a little sidebar here. Let's talk about that. You know, like, what does it take to be in a long-standing relationship? What would you say are two secrets that you have to a long marriage?
Number one. You have to laugh.
Yes.
My husband makes me laugh all the time. I mean, not every minute. We've had some not laughing moments, but he keeps me laughing a lot. And that's very important. And you always tell each other you love you. You love each other, and you just don't hold a grudge.
Yes.
Because you got to let it go.
You have to let it go.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. My husband and I have always believed that our friendship is one of the most important things. We've always been best friends.
Yes.
And exactly. We always maintain and protect that friendship. That's, I think, been one of the things for our longstanding relationships. Now, we have almost been married for 30 years, but we've been together for 34 years. And the second thing is that we always talk. We have a conversation, even when we're mad.
Yes.
You know, and we try to tell the other person, listen, I'm really pissed right now, but I need to talk to you.
Right.
I need you to give me a pass because I might say some things that I will tell you I'm sorry about tomorrow. But right now, I got to tell you.
Right.
So I think that that has been, you know, the trick, at least
right.
for
I agree
our
with
marriage.
That. No, it's absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Communication's the key. Communication is the key in any relationship.
Yes.
And especially in business relationships, or when you're dealing between a creditor and a debtor, or the person who owes the money. If you don't communicate with your creditor or the people you owe or customers, it all goes to pot. You've got to really communicate.
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad you actually said that, because that has always been what I have believed. First and foremost, I always believe in my clients, no matter what it is right. that they're going through. You know, I've always said, it doesn't matter the mess that you're coming from. We're going to clean up the house, and we're going to put you back on the path, and you're going to feel good again. But I really do believe in that relational type of communication with the creditors or with the banks or whoever it is
Absolutely.
That you're working with, because they're so used to being, honestly, verbally abused a lot. You know, and you have to understand, when someone is calling about a debt, you know, no one's answering the phone like, oh, hey, I'm so glad you called me about my debt. I know I owe you $100,000, but I don't have any money right now. So, you know, it's not that kind of conversation. So it's always a tough situation.
Yes.
But what I've always done in my professional career is, when I connect with someone on the other end of the phone, I realize first their humanity, that they are a person, and that we are going to collaborate together to come up with an opportunity for them and for my client.
That's right.
And it's always, now, not always, because you do have tough people that just, that's just their take in life, and they're just always pissed or whatever the
case
may be.
But it'd be worse if you didn't communicate with them.
It is. But I've always found that I gain favor with these people because of the way that I communicate with them, and the relationship and the rapport that I have with them. And it always works out, because they remember when I'm calling, the first thing I'm going to do is ask them how they are and how their day is going.
Right.
Then we can get to the business side of things, you know?
Exactly.
And I wonder, does that work in the court system?
Not in court. Well, first of all, I always tell my clients, put yourself in the position of the creditor. If my client owes money to somebody and we're trying to resolve it, I say, put yourself, because they say, well, do I need to do this, or do I need to do that? And, you know, I want to buy this. I said, okay, put yourself in the position of a creditor who's owed money and is probably having their finances affected by what you aren't paying to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like
a domino effect.
Yeah. Thank you. That goes, if you don't pay, then they can't pay their creditors, and it really goes down. So that's one thing I try to have them do, and it's very helpful, because then they say, oh yeah, you're right. Like, so I said, you know, if you were owed money and no one ever called you and just said, look, I'm sorry, we're dealing with this financial issue right now, let us have some time and we'll, you know, talk about this in a bit. You know, that goes a long way than just ignoring them and the person having to call you saying, you know, it's been 3 months and you haven't even told us what's going on. It makes a big difference. In the courts, you just need to be, credible, right? You need to be, but, you know, winking at the judge and saying, hey, how are you? Have a good day.
It's
not going
work.
To work.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. But, that's why you want to always have credible and professional and respected counsel if you're in the courtroom and who you're dealing with, because that does make a difference. Reputation and integrity of the judges, they're your ambassador. They're representing you. Makes a big difference.
Oh yeah. I mean, I tell my kids all the time, like, your name and what you represent it's all you have.
That's right.
Literally, at the end of the day, it's all you have, and you have to protect that. And the only way that you can do that is by showing up and showing out in the right way.
Right.
You
exactly.
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have a thing I've kind of coined called financial infidelity.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
And as we all know what infidelity is, and it's you know, when
well, maybe
not
some
truthful.
Don't. So tell us, what does
okay.
it mean?
Well, fidelity usually means you're not being honest about something. You're cheating or you're not being honest. The most common one is relationships, right? Mm-hmm. When one partner cheats on another partner with somebody else. But there's a lot of financial infidelity. And what that is when you are not honest with yourself or somebody else about your finances, but it could be yourself. So when someone isn't in tune with really what they can afford to spend, what their situation is, and you're out because you have a credit card charging stuff left and right, and you're getting these bills at the end of the month that you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that that added up. And, you know, how am I going to pay for it? You need to take responsibility and be honest with yourself. And that's financial infidelity when you are not. Mm. There's a lot that goes on. There's a lot that goes on between people. There's a lot that goes on with yourself and why people a lot of times get into trouble that they really don't think about or don't say to myself, you know what? I really can't afford that. Or I really need to go get a financial consultant to help me with this stuff because I don't know what I'm doing. And it's really important because just like in a relationship, when you're not true to your partner, and if you're not true to your partner or yourself regarding finances, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Now, there's also fraud, just outright fraud is when you just lie. We had many years ago, a woman come to our office that was engaged, and her partner, who was extremely wealthy, broke off the engagement. And they were done. And she felt she had to file bankruptcy now because she didn't know how she was going to go on because she thought they were going to get married and he was going to take care of her. And she had this really huge diamond ring that she thought, okay, maybe I can use this now to help finance my life. I'll use this ring that he got. I mean, it was huge. It's one of the largest diamonds I've seen. Well, what happened is that was a CZ. It wasn't a real diamond. So she did not have the ability to fund her life. And it was actually very, it's a horrible story. And it was very sad.
Ladies,
she was just shocked.
Whenever you get
in an appraise, ladies, don't trust it. I know. As soon as I went and God looked at my rings, I'm like, oh, no. But you know, you have to just do stuff. And sometimes you feel like you're doing something and it may look like you're not trusting someone, just like prenuptial agreements and things like that. They're necessary. You have to understand how to protect yourself. And if you have something you think is a major asset, get it appraised and make sure it's got the value that you think it does. Because if you are going to rely on that mm-hmm. for any financial purpose or for later on for retirement, you need to know what these things are worth. And that's, again, part of understanding, you know, investments. You know, you go through all the Madoff disasters when people were defrauded and major investments for retirements just went away.
Madoff just happened to be one of the very biggest ones, but there are several cases in case law of
there's many,
you know,
and I just got done. Yeah. Charles Ponzi, you know, Ponzi's named after Ponzi schemes. And that's where, you know, people are using money for different things and you think you're investing in one thing and they're using that money for something else. I just got done with a huge case in Northern California representing a big group of victims to a Ponzi scheme. The Ponzi scheme was about $500 to $600 million.
Wow.
And about a little over 1,000 creditors, people that thought they knew this person, it was someone in their community and was getting them involved. When it's too good to be true, it usually is.
Right. Yeah. That's what my grandma always told me.
Right. Exactly.
She said, when it sounds too good, check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah. That's really good, Robin, because, you know, one of the things that I do as a professional is I am a financial coach. And what I do is I sit down with people or over Zoom, because nowadays it's like no one sees each other. Yeah. It's so sad because I miss those days. But, you know, we put together a plan of action because too many people are only worried about today.
Yes.
They're not worried about 10 years from now. And that's what we really have to get in the habit of understanding is that when you get into the professional world, you know, you go to school, you go to college, you have a career. Now it's time you're adulting. You know, I do these classes with my kids and they're called life hacks. And I tell them every Sunday, give me 15 minutes of your time. because we're going to talk about a life hack. Now, we talk about everything. We talk about, you know, what happens when you're on the road and you get a nail in your tire, you know, things like that. But realistically, what I'm trying to pour into them is that if you have poor planning, then you're going to fail at some point. But if you plan really well, it doesn't mean that you're not going to make a mistake. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a blip in the road. But because you have planned, now you have a shield or a safety net or something that can help you with that problem that you have today.
Absolutely.
And I think what you're talking about in the financial infidelity is that a lot of people have a misunderstanding. They come from a place where maybe they were never taught. You know, maybe they've just been going along and they've been getting away with murder. And so, you know, finally, someone's knocking at the door and they're like, uh-oh,
right.
Maybe I didn't know what I was
exactly.
doing. And I think that, you know, even myself, I have coaches in my life. You know, everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs someone,
a mentor
in their life that's showing them and telling them, you know, the mistakes that they made,
right,
and how they can prepare for their future.
Absolutely.
You know, even if you, I never forget, I had this client, it was many years ago, and she came here from Guatemala, and her husband had passed away, and she had 6 children, and she came to the States, like, I don't know why she came here, but the story, the ending of the story is beautiful. And her father always told her, when you go to the States, make sure that you invest in real estate. Now, she worked for a large hotel collection, and she was a supervisor in the maids department in, you know, housekeeping. And she worked her way up. And, you know, she made okay money. But the way that she saved her money and buying her first property up until several years ago, she owned 27 properties.
Oh, amazing.
And it goes to show you, when great you story. Hear a story like that, it's that is someone who had a goal and who was very, very disciplined in their financial right. journey so that they could become what they are right. today. And 4 of her 6 children are with her in this real estate investment company. And, you know, she's taught them how to be, right. you know, financially independent. And it's just a beautiful story to show you, friends, listen, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It matters how you take care of it.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing, you know, we talk about your house, your room. I tell my kids all the time, you know, if you don't make up your bed, just because you're going to get in it the night when you come home, that means nothing. You know, it is a discipline that you have to take on in life to make sure when you leave a place that you leave it intact.
Absolutely. No, and it can never start too soon.
Mm-hmm.
We have an organization where we go into high schools and teach the students about credit.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean to have a credit card? And what does it mean when you don't pay the credit card off? And you may buy a computer, and if you're not paying it off or paying little teeny amounts every month, by the time you pay it off, you're already 4 computers behind. There's already a newer computer out, right? So it's very important
to understand
interest.
That.
Absolutely. And it was started by a bankruptcy judge, excuse me, who was really fed up with seeing adults coming into his courtroom who didn't understand how to properly handle credit cards and just running up huge debt and didn't understand their finances. They didn't plan, like you said, didn't understand. And you're absolutely right. From an 9 to 5 worker to a multimillionaire, people need to handle their finances and understand what they're doing. And that they all have the same issues. They may be on different levels.
Yeah.
They all have the same issues.
They really do. It doesn't. And here's the thing. I've had many over the years, many, many multimillionaires sitting in my office,
yes.
tears.
Yes.
Trying to understand how they lost it.
That's
all.
Right.
You
That's
know,
right.
so it you're right. It doesn't matter how much, you know, their net worth
right.
is.
No.
You know, it matters how you take care of it. So talking about that, when you were younger, did your parents teach you about finances, or was this something that you learned on your own that you were interested in? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. I don't think I had any training whatsoever about finances. When I think about that, I did not at all. I mean, no one, I didn't really have a budget. I didn't have that type of thing. Some, you know, families have budgets, so kids kind of learn. I never learned that. I really didn't learn it until I was in school. Mm. And I really didn't learn a lot of it until
you
I was in college.
High school or college?
College. And okay. A lot of it I didn't learn until I was in law school.
Mm.
I mean, because no one really teaches you that. There's not a course that just says this is how you should really deal with your finances. Now, maybe now and through the things like we're doing with this care program I just described, people are learning, but I never learned. And that made me want to learn because I didn't know. And I thought, you know, I have to take care of myself. I'm not going to rely on somebody else to take care of me. I'm an independent person. I need to understand these things and make sure I can always be self-independent. I don't want to rely on someone. I don't want to meet someone that, like this woman that came into our office, that I'm going to rely on to take care of me. And God forbid we break up or they don't want me anymore or whatever. And I'm out there destitute because I don't have a trade. Or I don't know how to manage my own money.
Yeah.
So it's
that's
really
so important.
Yes, it's very important.
That is, it pains me because I'm a part of a lot of different organizations. And one of them is a women's organization, a divorce group. And it's interesting to me that there are still women or men that allow their partner to be
everything,
you know, the not only the breadwinner, but they handle everything. And, you know, this spouse gets a stipend every
yes.
month.
Yes.
And they have no idea what's going on. And I remember this wasn't even that long ago, maybe 4 years ago, where I was talking to a woman and she was, you know, relatively still young. I think she was like maybe 67 and her husband had passed away. And when I tell you she knew nothing, she had absolutely no idea right. how much money they had in the bank. She didn't know how to reconcile a bank account, how to write a check. She didn't know what kind of credit cards right. and limits they had. She had no knowledge of anything. She literally was
so
a wallflower.
Yeah, it's so sad. And you can learn this. I know it sounds overwhelming to a lot of people. You can learn it. It's
you
really
can.
Not hard to learn it. And,
it's
and
like
take
dipping
care of yourself.
Your toe into
right.
the cold water, right?
Right.
You know, it's
right.
cold at first,
right.
but then when you get
warmer.
In, you get used
yes,
to it.
Exactly.
You know, and you start to learn things. And the thing is that when right now we are in an information boom. So, you know, there's really no excuses. Now, what we have to do is we have to be extremely cautious of the people that we listen to.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, TikTok and, you know, all of these different things.
Awful.
I get people that text me all the time and say, Angela, is this true? And it just
right.
makes me chuckle.
I know.
Because I'm looking at the things that some of these people are saying and I'm like, how can you even think this is
right,
real?
Right. How can they even say? Now, some things are right.
Yeah.
But you got to really understand. But that, I think that is the thing. I think I raised it earlier is you really have to have someone you can trust.
Yes.
If you're going to go out and hire someone, make sure it's someone who you can get references from and people you trust. It's just a friend that's doing well or can suggest someone because there are a lot of people that will rip you off or not give you good advice. And this is your livelihood.
Yes.
Right? This is everything you have that you're putting in the hands of someone perhaps handle for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk, there's so many I do a lot of entertainment related financial things. And there's so many entertainers that get ripped off by certain people that they trust to handle their things. And you know, they're too busy. They're on the road and they're doing the thing they're supposed to do to keep alive. And they're trusting someone else. You can't just do that.
No.
No matter what. No
Talk
matter who
about
it is.
It,
yeah. Even if you know them, you cannot trust anyone is
yes.
my feeling.
Yes.
You have to understand things on your own. You need to look at statements. You need to know how much you're making.
Yes.
You need to know where the expenses are going. Who's paying what? I mean, there's lawyers that make a huge living off of doing audits. For clients and companies that do audits to see what the client received and what they didn't receive that they were supposed to receive.
Yes.
And usually all those audits produce something that should have gone to the client that did not.
I have a new client with a situation just like that. Literally, she was going to buy an investment property in another country. And she had to go through all this process to get the loan. To purchase the property in another country. And the banker was able to find all of the mistakes and basically was able to divulge that the personal assistant that she had had for 12 years was embezzling money up to the tune of $8 million. And, you know,
this, I hear this all the time.
This woman makes so much money that, you know, 12 years, $8 million, it wasn't really that much for her.
Lucky her.
You know, I know, right? You know, yeah. But when she found out the hurt, the pain, the betrayal, the all of these things, because she never touched anything. This woman did everything for her. And this is why I always tell people, look, you got to know enough to be dangerous. You know, you may not know what you're talking about, but they need to know. They need to think that you know what you're talking about.
Exactly. You're on top of it, at least.
And you need to ask questions. Right. And you need to, just like you were saying, have reporting. You know, when someone is handling your finances, paying your bills, you know, that those are the biggest clients that we get all the time.
Right.
Is that someone else is paying their bills and they're the ones that made the mistake, not the client.
Exactly.
And if you ask for things, if you're accountable to your own finances, even if you don't read them, you know, you don't have to tell them that, but ask them to report to you once a month and tell you what's going on so that they have a duty and they feel that they are accountable and responsible to your particular situation.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think, and that goes really with everything. That goes when you're applying for a credit card, you know, and we're all bombarded with applications for credit cards. Credit cards companies make money off of you not paying. So they want you not to pay. They have big interest and fees. And we asked a group, what do you think is the higher amount, the interest or fees that credit card companies charge? And everyone thought it was interest, and it wasn't. It's the fees.
Right.
Because there's so many fees. So when you're going to get a credit card, when you're going to do anything, you have to read and understand what you're getting and compare.
Yes.
Right? A lot of credit cards say you don't have to pay a fee the first year, but you may have to pay a large fee after that. There may be other fees when you don't pay. And you really have to understand that, because you can really get yourself in trouble. You say, I never signed up for this. And they say, yeah, go read the contract you signed, and it's there.
Yeah. And a lot of these contracts in small print, you know,
really small print.
it's intended almost, you know, for you to pass by and not know about. And that's a really good point, Robin, that you're making as far as credit cards are concerned, because one of the things that I do when I'm coaching a client is I tell them, listen, I'm going to take you through the day-to-day process of understanding how to read your statement, how to read your bank statement. You know, and a lot of people are embarrassed because, you know, they're making millions of dollars and they're like, yeah, well, I didn't know that. And I said, look, don't be embarrassed.
Right. No. And a lot of people think that when it says minimum payment,
do
you pay that? You're golden. Right. People understand that you pay that minimum payment. You're still getting interest on what you didn't pay.
You're paying more interest than you are principal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that is something that a lot of people really don't understand. From any level.
Yes.
And so they don't understand how this thing accumulates like it does.
Right. And if you don't want to pay the bank so much interest, you have to learn how to pay more principal.
Right.
And you have to know how that particular bank processes those payments.
Right.
Because that's the other thing that I teach people, is that every bank has a policy. And you have to know that policy. There are some clients over the years that have said, you know, I'm going out of the country for 6 months. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a grand payment of 6 months, and that will have paid my payment for 6 months. And I'm like, no, no, no. If you don't tell them that these are your payments for 6 months, then they're going to take that as one large payment, and they're going to put it towards your principal, pay your interest.
Right.
And then the next month, your payment is due again.
Right. Absolutely.
And there are some banks and financial institutions that will not allow you to pay 6 months advance.
That's right.
So it really depends on the financial institution and the contract that you've signed. And so a lot, and you know, look, at the end of the day, does it make sense to be able to do something like that? Of course it does. But that's why bill pay exists.
Right.
Because you can automatically set it up so that it gets paid. But the thing is that I tell people, do not rely on technology, because it is not perfect. And if you don't have a monthly process that you go through to check and make sure that all of the payments have gone through your bank and you're good, then you're going to end up in my office with a problem.
That's right.
You know, and I love you for that. But at the same time, I don't like people to come back. Not because I don't love them, but because I want them to learn the lesson and move on.
Right.
And unfortunately, things change, life happens, and, you know, people come back.
Right.
And I love my clients for that. But, you know, the thing is that once we learn a little bit more and we take the time, people say, oh, I'm too busy. I don't have time. Well, if you don't make the time to know and understand something, right, then you're going to suffer from right, not understanding at some point.
That's
you
right,
don't know when that's going to be.
Right.
So, Robin, tell me this. What is the best advice that you have ever received from someone in your life? It could be a parent, it could be a colleague, it could be your husband. I don't know.
It actually is for my husband.
Okay.
Because we work together. He's a bit older than I am, so he was more senior. And the thing he said to me, which I've passed on to many people because I was a young lawyer, is be yourself and don't shoot from the hip. If you don't know something, say you don't know it. The worst thing you can do, and this is what I tell my young lawyers, the worst thing you can do is say something that you're not sure is correct and give that as advice to somebody and have it be wrong. That's terrible for on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people when you're young in any profession, you want to show that you have the information, that you have the answer. But people will really respect you when you say, gee, you know what? Let me look into that so I can give you make sure I'm correct on what I'm telling you. Or there's some things that may affect that. So let me look at it. You don't have to just say, look, I don't know, like you, and do that. Which I have someone say once in the way they said, we don't know anything about that. You don't say that, but you say, let me look into it, whatever. The worst thing you can do is just shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
And so you have to, it really garners respect when you, and then they wait for you to come back and tell them what the answer is. And then they know they're getting the correct answer.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I had the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Your husband said that, and my husband said or says all the time, when he doesn't understand something, he says, you know, would you do me a favor? Would you talk to me like I'm two? Because I would really like to understand what it is that you're saying. And I always took that with me because when I mentor people, I tell them the same thing. Look, you know, I don't know everything and I have not arrived. You know, I always believe that I'm a constant student.
Absolutely.
I'm constantly learning.
Absolutely.
And I want people to share with me their insight and their wisdom. You know, I love going to lunch with people or having conversations with people and letting them talk.
Right.
You know, because I love to learn what it is that they know, the things that they've become accustomed to in life, you know, what they do on a day-to-day basis, because I really believe that when we are in that position of, you know, letting someone else have the space to talk and to share with us, we learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes back to something you alluded to earlier is you're never too old or too accomplished not to need a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
We all need mentors. I'm a mentor for some people. I have other people that are my mentors.
Yes.
Right. You always need a mentor because people have other skills or thoughts or ideas that are helpful.
Yes.
And you never know no one ever knows everything.
No.
I mean, I'm sitting in board meetings with CEOs of major companies. And something will come up that I think is a pretty basic, practical thing nobody thinks of. And I'll say it. And they're like, wow, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Where I would have thought they would have said that, but they're so busy on other levels of dealing with things that sometimes, you know, when you focus on certain things, you're not thinking of something that's the simplest thing. Right?
Yeah.
And so,
well, and it's simple to you. And
right.
The thing is that, you know, it's the saying, right? Common sense is not common.
Right. It's not common.
You know,
and everyone has different things. Right. Someone's thinking of how to get out of a huge problem and they're thinking it's all the complexities. And sometimes it's just a simple thing that is a communication that may be the resolution.
Yeah.
But, or the solution to it. So you just don't know. And people are smart. Different people are smart in many ways, but not everyone knows everything.
That's right.
It pays to listen.
I
learn things all the time.
Yeah. A lot of friends in different places and, you know, different understandings, different come from
podcasts.
Yes. Podcasts.
You learn.
Exactly. So tell us this then. What is the best advice that you have given to your peers, your colleagues, friends? What would you say is the best advice that you could give to someone?
I think there's two different things, two different types. One is I repeat what I learned about always be truthful and always have your integrity. Don't, you know, if you're representing somebody else's interest, don't let that client tarnish your reputation. Don't do things. Don't let someone pull you down with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's not doing something right, you don't do it. Mm-hmm. You always keep your integrity, because that's all we all have at the end of the day, right? Is our credibility and our integrity.
Yes.
The other thing that I think has been very helpful, with women in particular, because women take the maternity leaves for the most part. Men do too. There's paternity leaves, but a lot of the women I've worked with over the years, the young associates, when they have their children, they go, and a lot of them want to stay home and maybe wait until the kids are grown out of school and then come back. And my advice to them, which they all have said has always been very helpful, is keep your toe in the water. Mm-hmm. Don't just leave completely and then think you're just going to come back and pop in, you know, 7 years, 10 years later. Keep your toe in the water. Keep your relationships. Keep your network. Keep your mind working in what you're doing, so that, you know, along the way, maybe you want to do part time, you know, and then maybe you want to do full time later on. But it's really important to kind of stay in. If you have something you enjoy doing and you want to, you think you're going to want to do it at some point later on, don't just stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for yourself too, and for your confidence and everything else, to just keep your just toe in the water a little bit.
And oh yeah,
I've been told that that's been really helpful.
Stay fresh.
Yeah, stay fresh is a great way to do it. We all need to do that, right?
Yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
all need to. And that is another point too, is you always have to be learning. Again, you don't know everything. I'm always learning. I go to, you know, conferences and courses all the time, and
yes.
in other areas to learn things. I learn things from you when we talk.
Yeah.
We all learn from each. Thank you. We all learn from each other. And that's really important. So it's that open mind. That's the thing, is don't think you know everything. I actually say that to young kids, because they come, some are very confident.
Oh, especially this generation.
Oh, this
I'm
generation.
Telling you,
they,
this
they know
new
everything.
Generation. And you know, the funny part is that they kind of know a lot.
They're
because,
so smart.
Because of technology,
yes.
the way that it is now,
yes.
you know, these little babies, you see them at restaurants and they have the phone and they're watching, you know, YouTube or whatever. And I'll never forget I had a baby late in life. I was 42 years old, and my son, he talked really young. And he used to talk in full sentences, and I'd be like, where did you get this from? Because my other children, you know, they didn't do this kind of thing. And, you know, my mom said, she's like, well, he's on that device all the time. It's getting in his brain, and he's picking it up. They're sponges, you know?
They're sponges.
They really are sponges. But to your point about, you know, women that go on maternity leave and stuff like that, you know, I have such respect for women that can do that, that
Absolutely.
Can take time off and leave, because I was never that one that could. I mean, I literally was in labor and delivery with my last child, sitting on the medicine ball with my computer in my lap. And the nurse comes in and she's like, no, we're not going to have that today.
Right.
And I was like, no, I have work to do. And she's like, no, you have a baby to deliver.
She's right.
Put it away.
She was right.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, there's limits. Absolutely. Well, and then that's the thing too, is to always, my husband always laughs. It's like, if we can't figure something out, go find a young person.
Yeah.
Grandchildren.
Yeah.
We'll be at a restaurant and he'll see like a family and he'll go and say, do you mind? I can't do this on my phone.
Yeah.
Can your son help us? And they're like, oh yeah, they do it.
They know it right away.
Yeah.
They know
yeah.
it right away. So the last thing that I want to talk about is, you know, what is your advice, or what do you think that consumers, business owners can do to become more financially fit? You know, what is it that you think that people can do more of a practice of, so that they can be financially fit?
I think listening and reading is very important. There's different trade magazines. If you're in a certain business, you can read and learn about what's going on. I think you have to be open-minded, and you have to be disciplined, and mm-hmm. you have to talk to people, kind of all the things that we've said.
Yes.
Maybe go sit down with a banker, you know, if you have a bank, and talk about, you know, what does this mean? Sit down with somebody about, what is it to buy stocks? You know, what are investments? You have to be open-minded and want to learn. Go spend an hour, hire a lawyer to sit down and talk with. Go, you know, retain Angela for an hour or two. These things don't have to be real expensive to do. I mean, there's a lot of self-help on
YouTube. But they're investing in themselves. You know, the thing is that I had someone say to me the other day, you know, well, why would I pay a lawyer or someone like you for an hour of your time? And I said, well, you know, first and foremost, just so you know, that individual has spent many hours and time,
years,
you know, understanding and knowing and being in a position to give that wisdom to you. And it's worth something.
Absolutely.
Because let me tell you something, the best investment that you can make in yourself is to work with people that have this wisdom that they can impart to you. And when you pay for it, let me tell you something, you're going to value that a lot more than you get for free.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a lot less it's going to cost you later on.
Yes.
And make the mistakes. And,
yeah.
You know, I have a lot of family businesses that I advise. And one of the things is I remind them is bring an outsider in to analyze some of this. Just don't keep it yourselves, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of times when there's issues, and they don't want to hire someone outside because they trust their family members. And you can understand that, right? All the things we talked about, trust. But you get to a right, you call someone who you can trust or get references from different people and bring someone in to look at things because of the different aspect and the different knowledge that that person can share with you to help you benefit your business, your lifestyle, whatever you're doing. It's important.
Last thing I want you to do is give our listeners, since this is a credit show, give them a credit tip.
A credit tip. Let me think. A credit tip would be understand your bills and your invoices. Read them carefully.
Yes.
Because people make mistakes too.
Oh, yeah.
So you just don't pay every month when that bill comes in. Just don't automatically. You must read it. You must look at it. You must understand. I find mistakes on our credit card statements very frequently.
Yes.
And unfortunately, in this day of fraud and everything and scams, there's things that I never bought that maybe they're not that much, so they wouldn't stand out. But over time, you know, you've got to look and you've got to understand. Again, it's being informed for yourself. That's really the most important thing. You're only cheating yourself if you're not doing these things to help you with your finances. And think about the financial infidelity we talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. Robin, how can our friends get a hold of you?
You can email me at r.itkin, I-T-K-I-N, at sklar, kirsh.com. Any questions, I'm happy to help. And you can go on, if you go on www.sklarkirsch.com, you'll see other ways to get to me at the office, and feel free to ask questions. I'm always happy to help. And if I can give you some advice to where to go or to who to reach out to on something, I'm happy to do that.
Amazing. Well, friends and fans out there, you know that I only bring people that I trust on this show. And I want to thank Robin for her contribution today and let her know how much I respect and love her and love working with her. Now, friends, you have heard it here first today. Thank you for coming to Your Credit Today, and I'm out. Hey, friends, thanks for tuning in to Your Credit Today, where we navigate the world of credit management one episode at a time. Remember, financial freedom begins with understanding. Be sure to subscribe for more tips, tricks, and insights to help you master your credit journey. Until next time, this is A to the N to the G, the real credit queen. Remember to stay informed, stay empowered, and stay financially savvy.